Imagine this scenario. You have a business acquaintance, not necessarily a close friend, but somebody that you know who sends a video to your phone. Well, you know this person, so you open it, but it contains spyware that gives that person access to your entire phone, all of your texts and emails and photos and financial information. This apparently is what happened to one of the richest men in the world, the founder and CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos. Joining us right now is ABC News crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett. Talk a little bit more about this. And boy, if it can happen, Brad, to Jeff Bezos, what does that say about you and me?
Well, the reality, Paul, is that we all end up in with the same vulnerabilities. Yeah. Granted, Jeff Bezos have more money than almost anyone else, but I'm sure he's got a great. I think it was an iPhone or is an iPhone. He is communicating with who he believes, and I think maybe accurately so, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. They had exchanged their cell phone numbers about a month before. He got this message from the Crown Prince with an attachment, a video attachment. Do I think he thought anything other than, here's the guy who runs a country sending me a document or a video. Why wouldn't I click on it?
Right.
And he did and apparently got infected and basically allowed the Saudis for 9 months to monitor his phone. And my guess is could even maybe even listen to what was going on. And, let's face it, somebody like Bezos, that's pretty powerful information to have.
Oh, yeah.
And anything about his personal life, I think, he's had a relationship with a girlfriend. I think her last name is Sanchez. I'm sure there was a bunch of stuff on there of them communicating with each other. Again, that should be personal, private, only between the two of them. But now, it's out there. And some of this ended up in the National Enquirer. It remains to be seen exactly how they got their hands on it. But the point being, highly personal, secure information is just not any of the above for any of us if you click on something that's infected.
Boy, that's scary because we've all been in that position before, I think, Brad, where we get something from somebody that we think is a trusted source, a colleague, somebody that we wouldn't have any hesitation opening the attachment that they sent. But I guess there is no such thing as privacy anymore, is there?
No. I mean, and it really sadly boils down to us as individuals to sort of monitor our own cyber behavior, if you will,
yeah.
That let's say, Paul, a friend does send you an email with an attachment, somebody you've known for years, you trust, etc., but you're not really sure what this attachment is. I would reach out to the person and say, what is this? I don't want to click on it till you tell me you've clicked on it, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that's sort of like, do I have to go through that step?
Right.
Well, probably you don't. But if you don't, and you end up like Mr. Bezos, you can see what sort of monster gets unleashed once these things are clicked on. And we get emails, you get them, everyone else gets them, when they pretend to be a bank,
mm-hmm.
saying your account's been frozen or discontinued or whatever it might be. You panic, you see the logo for the bank, like Bank of America or whatever it might be at the top of, in the email. It's all fake. And it sends you to a site that's not Bank of America, and then they either infect you or get you to put in your username and password, and then they go back and steal your money. So it just sort of goes on and on. It sounds exhausting to think about.
Yeah.
You kind of have to go through this. But the point being, whatever you're on, a phone, a tablet, a desktop, a laptop, you always have to have your guard up as to, well, what is this, and do I really need to click on it?
Yeah, I think, that phishing scam that you mentioned is probably the one piece of advice you can give everybody is always check where the email came from. And that doesn't mean just looking for the logo. Oh, it looks like it came from my bank. Really, put your cursor over that email address or open the email address and see if it really is from the bank or not, because oftentimes, I've gotten things from Apple or from Amazon that says your account has been suspended or your order has been held up, and it's really not from that place at all.
And what they'll do is change one letter. They'll instead of saying Gmail, they'll spell M AIL,
right?
For example, to get you, and you think, well, you know, Gmail, that's legitimate, right? Well, it's not Gmail. So it gets into those kind of things where you really have to look to see, this is just not right, and this isn't how banks typically communicate with us if we have a problem, and just ignore it.
Yeah, good advice, indeed. This is an eye-opening case, one that we can all learn a little something from. Brad, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Thanks for the insight.
Take care, Paul.
You too. Bye now.